to This Magical Life, a weekly podcast hosted by two witchy friends.
I'm Victoria. I'm a mom, I manage a shop, and I teach Teen Witch Academy.
I'm Margaret. I'm a magical bard, and I love tarot and astrology.
We're both witches and dog people.
Hi, Victoria.
Hey, Margaret. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Kind of hard to think of that this. We're already at the end of another season.
Oh, it's so crazy. Yeah. The time flies by. I have so much fun making this podcast with you.
Same.
It just totally flies by. And then I'm like, we have a week off? What? Like, why would we do that?
Why on earth?
Why on earth?
Well, because of Yule.
Exactly. Yule. Happy Yule. Happy have a cool Yule.
Yule blessings be upon all of you.
To everyone.
Listeners.
Yes.
I don't think I've said readers in a while.
So. I know. I'm very proud of
you. Thank you.
I'm very proud of you. That's why I just use friends, because I won't, like, that could mean
smart.
Anything.
That's smart.
No, I'm very excited. I love this time of year, only because I love all of, like, the, I shouldn't say, I'm going to back up. I love this time of year with my family and my friends, but I hate this time of year, like, with, like, just being out in public, because I feel like everybody's crazy and like their crazy energy gets to me.
Yeah. And you do a lot of extra shielding in December.
Yes. Yes. and that's hard, but I have to say, I'm really loving working in the shop. I mean, we get like really good customers anyway. Yeah. So, you know, but like, I don't know. It just feels very joyful. And I've been really trying this year, cause I'm not a big December fan, but I'm really trying this year. And,
You're doing very well.
I've been listening to some jazzy Christmas music. What's that station I listen to, like on Spotify, like Cocktail Christmas or something
like that.
And it, you know, I'm doing okay so far.
Nice.
So I'm going to say I really like this time of year,
Excellent. Year. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
December is always a favorite month of mine because it's cold and it's dark.
Yeah. I do like the cold and the darkness. Cause I like it. Cause it's like, now it's acceptable to be like in your pajamas.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I realized that I could do everything in my pajamas, and I don't want to take them off usually, like when I get home. Like yesterday I got home from work. I think it was like maybe 5 o'clock, a few minutes before
pajamas
5.
Pajamas on.
Pajamas were on. That was the first thing. That was the first line of business.
Always be the first thing to do.
And I was like, this is glorious. And then I went upstairs because I was like, oh, it's really dark. It's late. I'll go watch some TV. I ended up watching TV from like 6 till, I don't know, 11.
Nice.
Some
just
crazy
chill
thing.
Evening.
Well, so, you know, I love to watch like my Christmas movies.
Yeah.
For some reason.
So my mom and I watched The Bishop's Wife last night. We watch it every year.
I watched, oh my God, it was like A Castle for Christmas or a Christmas Castle. They go to Scotland. She goes to Scotland.
Oh,
she's
not
an
that
author.
One. Okay. It's a different one.
No, they're in Scotland.
Sorry, that one was A Crown for Christmas that we made fun of.
Yeah, so it's Brooke Shields.
Okay.
And first of all, she looks magnificent. She's older than me. I thought that she was, like, younger than me, but she's older than me. She looks great. And she goes to Scotland, as you do when you write a book, and I guess people were, like, really mad about her book or whatever. So she goes to Scotland, and, you know, and like, you know, chaos ensues.
Of course.
And there's a prince. Or, no, he's a duke, maybe. So it's a little bit of a different story.
But dukes are essentially princes.
Yeah. So, and then there you go. There you go. And then, you know.
Then it
just followed that Christmas movie formula.
Last night, I was just like, how come Cary Grant never took me ice skating? I could probably ice skate if I was ice skating with Cary Grant.
I know.
He does such a great job.
You probably could, yeah.
Me on my own?
Yeah.
It's like face plant into the ice.
Yeah, no, I understand that. It's funny because people will say to me, like, well, what do you mean you like Christmas movies? Like, you don't celebrate Christmas. I'm like, well, I do celebrate the season and, like, you know, and Christmas. I have a tree. I call it a Christmas tree. I have a Yule log, which I call a Yule log. We also have a menorah in our house, which we just call a menorah. But, you know.
You call the things. Yeah, they're called
what they are, you know. I'm not like, that's like our Yule 8 candle holder, you know. Like, so I like to celebrate them all. I like to celebrate everything, and you know, because that makes it more fun. Because all my friends and family all celebrate different things.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you want to?
So I don't want to pinhole anybody.
No.
And you know me, I just like to celebrate things.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So last night was two Christmas movies. I think we watched that one. I can't remember which other ones we watched. Oh my gosh. Oh, it had Lindsay Lohan in it.
Oh my gosh, I know exactly which one that is because my family and I tried to watch it. It's horrendous. No offense to her. It's the one where she has amnesia.
She has amnesia. Yeah. And then has to go live in that other inn that's not as spectacular. It's like the hotel that her father, her billionaire father owns. And
there are so many plot holes in that movie.
There's so many holes. And I just laugh because I'm like, wait a second.
We all do. It's like that TikTok video of that Hallmark movie script supposedly written by a robot. It's hysterical.
Yeah, yeah. It's just funny. And, you know, she doesn't know how to really do anything. And, like, they try to, like, you know, make her help, like, you know, take care of the inn. And, you know, and she, you know, she doesn't know how to do anything.
She's like, what do I do with these sheets?
Yeah. Like, she can't put sheets on a bed. It's just, for me, I'm like.
It's not like they were asking her to fold a fitted sheet. Now, that takes some.
But, like, I think everybody knows how to put a sheet on a bed. But that's just me, you know.
I thought so, too.
You know, so.
Apparently, that's incorrect.
Yeah, apparently. So, but I always love in all these movies how there's always, like, this Christmas, like, the village is so into Christmas. Yes. And they always have, like, a Christmas, you know, fair or whatever it is, you know, whatever they want to call it. Some magical thing where everybody goes downtown. And, you know, it's beautiful and glorious and it's for days and days. And, you know, I'm like, how does anybody get any other work done?
Yeah, I've never heard of real life having it days and days. Although, in the town next to Essex, or it's actually part of Essex, in Ivoryton, or as my GPS calls it, Ivoryton.
Ivoryton.
They had a really cute Christmas set up, and the whole green was lit up, and they had a bunch of, like, events for kids and whatever. So we took my nephew, and he had a blast, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
But after a couple hours, you're done.
Yeah, yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
But it is still great to celebrate all the different things.
I agree, and I love it. I mean, there's this house near us that they do, like, the whole lights and the music and the whole bit. You tune on to, like, your radio station, you know. And I love to go there and just stop there and, you know, with all the other cars that are stopped there just watching it. So, you know, there's something about the lights and the, you know, I love all of that. It's just, I think that everybody gets really insane and crazy about, like, you have to do, like, these 97 parties and you have to buy, like, hundreds of dollars of gifts for everybody or else you hate them. And, you know, so there's, like, there's so much. Maybe I'm Charlie Brown. Maybe there's just too much commercialism in the world.
I think that there is. But can we talk about the gifting for a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a...
I would love to talk about gifting.
That is a foundation of Yule. I think it's gotten bastardized. Because a lot of people, like you said, they feel like they have to spend hundreds of dollars on everybody or they hate them. I liked the way you phrased that, by the way. When really... The act of gift giving is about showing gratitude. It's like, if you think back 1,000 years or so,
mm-hmm.
whenever people gave of anything, it was usually to the gods,
mm-hmm.
in gratitude, in hopes that the gods would be like, oh, you're giving me stuff, I'm going to give you stuff, like a good planting season.
Right, right.
Or whatever.
Right.
Not that I'm, Victoria, I'm not going to give you Yule gifts and expect you to give me a good planting season, because I'm not going to grow anything anyway.
You're like, here's the planting season.
Though if you have that power, that's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, no.
But I always think of gift giving. I get excited about it, and I'm not saying this to sound altruistic, but I genuinely get excited about it for the gifts I'm giving people.
Oh, me too.
Like, I like thinking about what would this person really enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
When I see something, if I think of them and it makes me smile, I want to give them that thing.
Yes.
The only hard part is I try to get my shopping done early, and then I'm very impatient to give them the presents.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's like turning into a little kid again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to give it to them now. And it's like December 1st.
But that's like the fun part.
It is.
Like, you know, we all turn a little bit into little kids. It's whether we embrace that part or not.
Yes.
So I think that that's the important part about, you know, the whole season. Like, just embrace it. And, you know, I think I told you I watched this Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol. I start Thanksgiving night and then we play it, you know, throughout the season. And it's, you know... It's a cartoon from like 1970 maybe. So there's some problems with it.
Some things that didn't age well.
Yeah. But for me, it just reminds me of like Christmas with my dad. So there you go. I like that time. I want to like kind of be nostalgic for that time. And I love it. My problem with gifting and everything else with Christmas and this holiday season is then it's over, and it's just over. Like, it's not just, like, it's over and it kind of trickles down. I feel like now, as soon as, like, I feel like even, like, as soon as the Christmas presents are open on Christmas morning, Christmas is over.
Yes.
Like, happened. Now we're like, wait, we have to make 27 turkeys and, you know, and have all these dinners. And I like that. I mean, I like spending time with people, but it's like, it's just done. And that to me is so weird because when I was younger, it was like that whole time between Christmas and New Year's Day.
Yeah, you had the 12 days of Christmas.
Right. Or was like Yule. Was like the kind of coming off the high.
Yeah.
You know, each day you're weaning yourself off. And I don't like that now, how it's like, wait, now it's the 26th time for Christmas sales and everything has to be, you know, 75% off, and which is great. I mean, I love a bargain like everybody else, but like the stores look ransacked and like, I don't know. To me, it's too much, especially since we start putting up Christmas decorations in like September, it seems like. You know, it's too abrupt for it to end for me.
I got you.
It feels like a Band-Aid that's being taken off too quickly.
I can understand that. I can understand that. Like, it's like you blink and then it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to savor it. That's why I love Yule, because you have like these, you know, you're starting with the winter solstice and you're doing, you know, whatever you do for Yule. I like to do a bonfire or a fire in the fireplace, you know.
Yeah.
Whichever. It depends how the weather is outside.
And if it's blizzarding.
Yeah, exactly. Or if it's really windy, that's not cool.
It's hard to have a fire smoke blow right in your face. Yeah.
But I like having that, you know, that whole thing where, okay, this is what we're doing tonight. And then, you know, tomorrow night, this is what we're doing. And now we're going to go look at the Christmas lights in town, you know. And just all those things I love to have. Then, and I almost wish that there was like a Christmas village then,
yeah.
Not like a gift shopping one, but of course, like, you know, I guess commercialism would be like, well, if we can't make any money, but like having like the ice skating and the hot cocoa and the, you know, snowman building and all that stuff,
right.
I wish was between Christmas and New Year's.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that. Well, we're kind of celebrating the span of Yule.
We are.
Because we're having our Yule celebration on January 1st.
Yeah, we are, which is great, you know, because we want Anastasia to be there. And, of course, our friends that all had to come home for the holidays. And, yeah, I'm really excited.
Same.
I think that's a really nice way to spend the holidays. That, you know, it's always, it was like when you were in school and you were going on summer vacation, like the day after school ended. You know, you would kind of go on summer vacation and be like, okay, well now summer's over. Like now, you know, but like if you had to like wait till like the end of summer for your vacation, it just seemed like super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. So I know that you do a Yule log tradition every mm-hmm. year, which is awesome. Usually mm-hmm. if I'm doing a Yule log, I'm making the cake.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
But you actually do a log that gets burned. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Can I ask you to talk about, I know we talked a little bit about it last year, but so that mm-hmm. people don't have to go back through a whole year's
sure.
episodes. If they, maybe they didn't do one, maybe they've been listening the whole time and didn't do one, or maybe they're new listeners. Can you just do like a little quick run through of what you do
sure.
for your Yule log?
The Yule log, I have so much fun with the Yule log because what I try to do is each year I try to save it from the last year to build a fire for the, like, okay, let me, I'm stepping all over myself here. Like this year, I would like to burn the log from last year
right.
that I made last year and then burn it this year. And then this year, the one that I make, usually I have with candles.
Year. Okay.
And I just use that as almost like a decoration for the table.
Nice.
Burn the candles. And then next year, we put that in the Yule fire. We did have a little episode, though, this year with the Yule log that was supposed to be left over. Apparently not everybody in my house got the message
that we
saved that Yule log. And we just, I mean, normally what I do is after the holiday season, I put it away and then it comes out the next holiday season.
Right.
I guess people didn't receive the memo after years and years and it got burned.
So you don't have one this year.
So we won't be doing that this
okay.
year. But I'm going to just make
two
Yule logs this year. One that I'm going to burn and then one that I'm going to keep till next year.
Gotcha.
We'll see how it goes this year.
Yeah, I mean, still, you could do the old tradition of going out and getting your Christmas tree and shoving that in the fireplace. I mean, mm-hmm. one of your fireplaces is fairly large.
Yes.
You'll be able to hold part of a tree.
Yes.
But then it might, you know, burn into the room. So that would
so
be good.
So what I like to do with my Yule log is I always like to make sure it's either like birch or oak or something like that. I don't use my pine because, of course, pine burns really weird and like sparks. That's fine if we're in the bonfire.
Yeah.
But inside it's not
it's
great.
It's a little worrisome.
Yeah, it's a little worrisome. It gets just way too hot too fast. But I just take a log and I usually just take it off of my logs that are, you know, sitting right waiting to be burnt anyway. And I make my U-log adding, you know, pine and sometimes holly and ribbon and candles and orange slices. And then kind of different things I find in my yard. Acorns I've put on. I've put pine cones on. Sometimes I'll take some of those. Oh, now I'm going to. Those star anise.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I'll put like those on, you know, some cinnamon sticks, just anything like that. That also for when I burn it, it can burn. You know.
So speaking of that, I'm guessing you're not using hot glue to attach these things because you can't put that in the fireplace.
No.
You're using wax, I'm presuming.
Yes. Yeah, so okay. To attach it on, a lot of times I am using wax. I have used in small situations hot glue.
Okay.
When I had to get the candle holders to like stay on there. But now I think I found a drill bit that's big enough that, you know, we could just drill into the logs themselves and put the candles in. But I also used to use twine and tie that around.
Great.
Because that works too.
Yeah, you can burn it,
that's a little harder. But yeah, the glue gun, I didn't think about that one year and was like, what is that awful smell in our house? And I think I'm poisoning everybody. So
open the window, quick.
Yeah.
The glue will not suffice.
But I love having that on my table because it just looks so pretty and it looks like everything. Like, it's just like the... all like the goodies from the earth, you know, like the tree and the pine. And, you know, I try to, what I've been trying to do is take pine from my last year's Christmas tree.
Okay.
And use that. And as you see, I have a bag of it in the back there, you know, to use that. But that can be tricky if you have candles. You have to make sure your candles do not touch your pine.
Right, right.
Because the pine is very flammable when it's dried out. Very.
Yeah. That only should light on fire when it goes in the fireplace.
Exactly.
Or a fire
but
pit.
A Yule log is just, it's such a fun thing because you could do it with anybody with who either celebrates Yule or Christmas or Kwanzaa or any of those December holidays. Because it's just a beautiful piece of like winter. It's like winter on a log kind of thing.
Winter on a log. That should be another t-shirt with a picture of a Yule log.
Yes, winter on a log. It kind of defines winter a little bit, to me at least. Love having it on my table, love having them. They're a lot of fun to make. You can make them with your kids.
See,
you know.
The cake is sometimes very frustrating to make.
Yes. See, I was going to ask you because the cake involves you making the big flat cake and then rolling it, right?
Yeah, so usually when you're doing any kind of a Swiss roll cake, you want to use a flexible sponge, like a jacquand.
Of course, a jacquand. I was going to say that.
But they're hard to make because there's like 15 million times when you could accidentally flatten all the leavening in the cake.
Oh.
And then you get like a millimeter sheet of dense cake that doesn't roll.
Okay.
And is kind of like hard and chewy, which is not fun. So then you'd have to remake it. The good news is it only takes about 15 minutes total to make this cake.
Okay. Okay.
The cake part.
Okay.
Then you have to roll it when it's hot. So that's kind of uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Usually what I'll do is I'll put wax paper down on a towel and then I use the towel to roll so I'm not burning my hands off.
Yes.
I've only made a Swiss roll cake twice, by the way. So I'd say usually with a grain of salt.
Okay.
But then you've got to make the filling for excuse me, I apologize everyone. You got to make the filling for it. Then you have to make, usually there's like a ganache and a frosting and then like the decorations.
Mm-hmm.
My mom one time made these beautiful meringue mushrooms that she dusted with cocoa powder.
Oh my gosh.
And put all around.
That must have been magical.
It was amazing. But I mean, it's a many part dessert and it takes a long time. And there's a lot of ways for things to go wrong.
Okay. So
it's frustrating.
I will tell you that I once made a Yule log cake.
How'd it go?
It went great because I used a cake mix.
Okay.
Okay. And I used all bought frosting. So I just basically had white
you
frosting
assembled
on the inside.
It. Yeah.
I assembled it. I did the towel method.
Yeah.
Held it there and then like unrolled it, then put the, you know, put the frosting on, then rolled it again.
Yeah.
And then put chocolate frosting on the outside, took a fork and like scraped it a little
bit.
Yeah,
you gotta make the
So it was
bark.
Basically it was basically just like a straight log.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, so
but we had a lot of fun with it. I made it and it even though I used a box cake, it took me forever because I was like,
it does
I swore
forever.
A lot. There was a lot of swearing. But it was fun. It was really yummy because I used a cake mix and it was super yummy. So
great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it being a single straight log.
It looks a little funny as a, you need that like one little piece off of it.
Cut off?
Yeah, you need that like one.
So you got to roll the long ways to get that, which is a little bit tricky.
Yeah, I rolled the short ways.
Yeah, it's hard to wield. Or you could do two cakes.
You could.
And then cut one shorter.
You could.
And then you get a little sample that day.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That is.
Yeah, it took me a while. Again, lots of swearing, but it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's one of those desserts that it's fun and you feel really proud when you're done with it, but it can be very frustrating in the midst of it. The fun part about my Yule log is I made it in a very limited kitchen. So I can only use one appliance at a time because I only had 15 amps of electricity. So it's like, make this, put it aside. Okay. And I had like counter space that was tiny and like a sink that was about as, I don't know, as big as a small soup pan.
Oh my God.
It was just very interesting.
Did anybody take a video of this? Because I bet that would have been a good
video.
No,
thank goodness.
Was there a lot of swearing involved?
Actually, no.
Oh, okay.
There was a lot of relief that I didn't drop ganache all over the place.
Oh, okay.
Or like, you know, that I didn't send like whipped cream flying into the air.
Okay.
Just because it was kind of like close quarters. It was sort of like if you imagine making this cake aboard a tall wooden ship.
Oh, yeah.
Minus the swaying.
Minus the swaying. The earth was steady. Were you swaying?
I was not. The earth was steady.
It was during an earthquake.
I would not be making a cake during an earthquake. And if I was going to make a cake during an earthquake, it would not be any kind of Swiss roll. I can tell you that.
Right.
But I saw something cute for people who like yodels. Which is you buy the yodels and you turn them into little mini Yule logs. I think my aunt found it.
Oh my God.
And it looked adorable.
Oh my, you'll have to send that to me because I like yodels.
I don't have it, but.
Okay. I like a good yodel.
Do you?
But I liked yodels like, you know, like the 1975
before they
yodels.
Made all the chemicals in them?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had a yodel, so I guess I shouldn't say, but I'm going to say I like the 1975 yodels and I'm sticking with that.
The non-cancerous yodels?
Yeah, exactly. Although they probably had like red dye number, whatever that was.
What would have been red in them?
I have no idea, but I feel like.
It's like. Chocolate and,
I feel like, because the 70s were when they started really adding a lot of chemicals to food, I think just to add them in.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, let's see what happens if we do this to people.
Let's see what this does.
Let's give it 30 years. See what grows.
I will be baking some cookies.
Same. I love cookies.
We're going to see how that goes.
Well, we're going to do a cookie swap.
Yes.
Right now,
yes.
Which is going to be fun.
And we'll see if your cookie swap is cookies from me or cookies from Mariano's.
If they're cookies from Mariano's, I know my sister really likes the black and white cookie.
Okay, so just put it in there. Okay. Yeah, because last year I made cookies and it was a success. And we had fun. This year, you know, we'll see.
I'm still planning what my recipes are going to be because next week is cookie week.
Yeah.
Cookie week and present wrapping week.
Yeah. So I did some of that stuff today. I did not make any cookies because my daughter has been not feeling well, so I don't want to like make food.
here's
cookies with who knows what in them. But
hope you feel better, Trent.
Hopefully, yeah, feel better. Hopefully next week will be my cookie week.
Which for people listening will be the week starting that day.
Oh, that's right. It will be tomorrow for everybody.
So speaking of Sunday the 17th.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about December 17th.
Let's talk about it. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I can tell you a little bit about it.
Okay.
It's the Festival of Saturnalia.
Mm-hmm.
I might be mispronouncing that.
Okay.
Excuse me. I don't have any ancient Romans around me, and I didn't ever take Latin, so.
Okay.
Throwing that out
there. It sounds like that's how you say it.
I think so. I've heard people say Saturnalia.
Saturnalia.
But I like Saturnalia better.
Saturnalia. I think it would be Nalia, but you know me, I mess up like in the English language. So, you know, yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But this was a festival of Saturn because.
Love Saturn.
Love Saturn. And when we think about astrologically, Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn. And though the 17th is still technically Sagittarius, it is approaching Capricorn season at that point. It's just a few days away from there. And it was a festival that was all about welcoming back the sun so that you could have a good planting season.
Love that.
Right?
Love that.
So it's kind of like thinking ahead really to your next harvest all the way back in December and having a big old party about it. And there's a lot of traditions that tie in from Christmas that are celebrated. Because when Christmas was created, mm-hmm. after Jesus died and everyone was like, let's make Christmas, because that's what they said.
Because that's how it happened.
Because they got together and they were like, let's make Christmas.
Let's make Christmas.
You know, we know now he was actually born in the springtime.
Right.
But they were like, look at all these pagan people. Mm-hmm. They're already celebrating Yule, Saturnalia, mm-hmm. or Nalia, or whatever we're calling it. Mm-hmm. All these other festivals that are around the return of the sun. And why don't we associate our God King with the mm-hmm. sun as well? We'll just move his birth.
Yeah.
We're going to move it to December. Mm-hmm. And we'll let them keep a bunch of traditions, like the Christmas tree and giving mm-hmm. gifts. And although they say the wise men brought gifts too, but no one has ever given me any gold.
Like no, bars gold, of gold, frankincense, or myrrh.
Yeah. I mean, where? I'm not Jesus. I'm not trying to say I'm Jesus. I'm getting way off topic. But anyway, okay. the point was, let's make the pagans as comfortable as possible celebrating mm-hmm. this holiday. So they brought in a lot of things from a lot of different holidays, and Saturnalia was one of the ones that they adopted from. And I think that that's pretty cool because it's something that was celebrated so long ago.
Yeah.
And it was such a big deal.
Yeah.
It was like the biggest holiday in ancient Rome.
Which is so weird that, like, you know, I did not hear about it for years and years, you know. And then I did, like, just maybe like 10 or 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And was like, how come I never heard about this before? Is this one of those new age, kind of like
ancient holidays?
New age. You know, is this new? But, yeah, I always love, though, like, hearing about things that I've never heard about before, you know? So, yeah, I think it's fun. I think that, like, what I would love to do, and maybe I'll do this next year. Maybe I'll make some notes to do this next year. But, like, you know, I know a lot of people, like, celebrate, like, December 6th is St. Nicholas Day. And I think that's the day you, like, put out your shoes and, like,
you
get gold coins in them or chocolate coins or
candy
something.
In your shoes.
Which is just weird to me. I don't really want candy in my shoes.
I hope they're not shoes people are wearing.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know the whole tradition, but it freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess if you package it, I don't know. I'm freaked out.
I'm still going to be thinking feet when I eat the candy.
I'm freaked out.
Notice I didn't say I wouldn't eat the candy. Yeah, no.
I'll still eat the candy.
I'm just going to be thinking of feet.
There's, you know, I'm not totally a crazy person.
Right,
okay?
There's candy. It's going in.
But I'd like to, like, write down all of these holidays that we celebrate in December and just, like, celebrate every single one of them. Like, how much fun will that be? I think that's going to be a goal for us next year at the shop.
I think we should
do that.
Everybody's
going to have to do it.
Yeah. we could have some shoes that are not worn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And put candy in them.
Good idea. Good idea.
Never been worn. People can wear them after.
Yeah. They,
I mean, if the
totally.
Chocolate doesn't melt
just
in
take
there,
the chocolate out.
And take the chocolate out and put your feet in the shoes.
But it might be like a really cute idea. We could, like, oh my gosh, how cute is this idea? Now, nobody remember this, though, so that when I surprise you next year, we could all, I could get everybody new slippers with chocolate in them and then leave them out.
What if they were House of the Moon?
Oh my gosh, with like triple moons on them.
Yeah.
Margaret, are we writing this down?
No, we're recording it.
We're recording it, okay.
It won't be a surprise for
everybody, I'm going to remember this, but nobody else remembers.
No, all of you are to forget that immediately.
Anybody who knows me, that might be getting triple moon slippers from me.
Now, I could just delete the last 5 minutes of this recording, but I'm not going to.
No, it's gold.
Because then we won't remember.
It's gold.
Or that. No, I really like that idea.
Like the wise men deliver, like bringing the gift of gold.
There's the gold.
There it is.
There's the gold.
Oh my gosh. I might be burning in hell at some point. But that's okay.
You'll be in good company.
That's okay.
You know, it is really nice to kind of like think about all these traditions that have existed for a long time. I first learned of Saturnalia, I want to say, now I'm saying Saturnalia instead of Saturnalia. And now I'm saying it the way I said
okay,
I don't say
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah. That's what happens because we've been saying
it.
We said it too many times.
There's a term for that when the word loses meaning.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it is, but it exists. Anyway, I first learned about it, I want to say in 2008, and I conceived of a story. I'm going to tell you how the story goes because it's so bad. And it's not even really enough to be a full-fledged story.
Okay.
But I was somehow in my story combining that festival.
Mm-hmm.
With the destruction of Pompeii. And on that festival, it was called the Rings of Saturnalia.
Okay.
All right. And it was these bracelets that could allow someone to time travel.
Okay.
All right. And they decide to time travel back For some reason, they've got to stop somebody dying in Pompeii. I don't remember why. Okay, there was a reason.
Okay.
Maybe it was an ancestor or something. And like,
right. Okay.
You know, a little bit of Back to the Future action. Although it's been so long. I don't know why they would know about that, but whatever.
Okay.
I don't think any of us know that, like, oh yeah, my ancestor was in Pompeii. Like, you can get, like, you know, Italy around that time. Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah.
If you're lucky. But anyways, they were going back to keep someone from dying. I don't remember who. And the way that the time travel worked was you always were going back a set amount of time, but you could not come forward again until your task was complete, and you had to use one of the bracelets every time you went back.
Okay.
And there were only so many of them.
Okay.
I don't remember if I was trying to match them to the number of rings around Saturn. I'm thinking not, because it's a lot of bracelets, probably.
Right, right.
I don't know how many rings are around Saturn, right. But we're going to go with a lot. But then, this is where it got really kooky, because I started to write it during a novel challenge in November, where you're trying to write 50,000 words in 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So
holy cow.
When you don't plan your story ahead of time, and then you try to do that, you got to make random stuff up halfway through the month. For some reason, and I think it was the demigod aspect of it, they had to actually, like, get Roman Hercules to jump into the volcano in order to stop it erupting to save this person. I don't really remember exactly how this was happening, but it was all based on Saturnalia. Okay. And so I'll never forget that that's when I learned about it, because I created the story, and I think it started out better than it ended up.
Okay. I think it sounds kind of cool.
Do you?
Yeah. I like it.
Well, it's a thing. I don't even really think that, like, that Pompeii had anything to do with that, because I don't remember exactly when that volcano went.
Okay, yeah, like, and I know nothing about history.
But I don't know when, and I'm like, how did the months work? I think it was in August that it not exploded. It erupted. They explode.
Yeah, they do explode. There's explosions.
Mount St. Helens.
Yeah.
That was an explosion.
That was an explosion and an eruption. It was all of it. it was everything.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, they had to, like, convince Hercules to go in. And it kind of turned into a comedy at that point. He was like, I already did my 12 labors. I'm not doing this for you.
Okay.
And they were like, no, you'll get to be a god. And, you know, like, it got a little weird. It got a little weird. Yeah. But I'll always remember that that's when I learned what Saturnalia was.
Okay. That's so cool.
It's something.
I can't even imagine writing 50,000 words ever.
The first time you do it, it's a lot. And then after that, it's not so bad.
So, wait, how many words is that a day, do you think?
It's 1,667 words a
day. Oh, okay. Do you think? Just guessing.
Well, that's how you do it. It's for 30 days, you write 1,667 words a day.
I don't really think I could do that. That makes me nervous to even think about right now.
It's a bit of a haul.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
My typical output is probably closer to between 500 and 1,000 words a day.
Okay. Yeah. My typical is like 3. What's for lunch?
There you go. You're not writing a novel.
No, I'm not. Although it'd be a good novel. What's for lunch? What's and we can lunch? Just talk each
Victoria
page.
Victoria and I ask each other this every time we work together at the shop.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
So.
And a lot of times since I text you, that's why I'm like, that's my writing.
And the funny thing is we always pretend like we're not trying to bring up lunch.
Oh, yeah.
But we totally are. We're like, I don't want to rush. Or you look busy. But what's for lunch?
Let's talk about lunch. And we can drop everything at that moment.
We're going to drop everything. How do you know you're Italian?
Well, the funny thing is, too, is that we always basically get the same lunch.
You get the same lunch.
Like,
I get one of two sandwiches. Yeah. And you either get a sandwich or a bagel.
Or a bagel. So, you know, yeah.
But we have the question every time.
But we have the question. And we make it seem like it's, you know, a big part of the day.
Yeah, we look at the menu.
We look at the menu every single day.
I wonder if they did that at Saturnalia, or if they ate the same foods every year for the feast.
I bet that they ate the same foods every year.
Probably, because
they're probably special foods, you know what I mean? Like, these are the foods that we're only having on this day, you know?
Yeah. But yeah. I wonder if they were still like, let's see a menu.
Yeah, let's see the menu. What are my choices again?
What are the specials? Oh, goodness.
Yeah, 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 I bet it was special foods and that you just knew that they were coming. Because, like, I know when I was little and, like, we would go to my grandmother's for, you know, Christmas or Easter or even just, like, on, like, a Sunday because she would, like, make, like, this huge meal, you know. You knew that, like oh, it's Christmas, so Christmas we're definitely having lasagna. Mm-hmm. But, like, Easter we're having stuffed shells.
Right. But okay, they're basically so the same food.
They're the same exact thing.
One is half round and the other is flat sheet.
Yes. But, you know, and then it was like, and then we're having a salad.
Was there ever a holiday where you then had manigault?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Which
sure
is like lasagna rolled
which
up.
Is, I think it was Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And then there's the rollatini.
Yeah. Because when I was younger, if you went to my grandmother, she didn't have like turkey at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You had like, I call them manicotti. My mom is spinning in her grave right now that I said it that way, but that's how I call them.
That's fine.
Because I don't do the whole Italian thing, even though I should, but
there's
I don't.
There's no pressure.
And yeah.
There's no
so
pressure.
So I call them manicotti, and we would have that, and then we would usually have like an eggplant parmesan after that, or like
which
a chicken
is very
parmesan.
Similar.
There was lots of tomatoes, there was lots of cheese, and there was other things.
Something to hold the tomatoes.
Yeah. But there was
the
like
cheese.
No like mashed potatoes.
No.
We did used to have these great things. They were called potato croquettes. Did you ever have them?
I've not had those, but I've had ham ones. I've
okay.
had tuna ones. I've had turkey ones.
Okay, yes.
So I know
these
what
are
they,
the same thing,
it's,
but it's like you make the mashed potatoes, but then
yeah.
you go a few steps further and you bread them
and
you,
and
fry,
you fry
them
in
and
a
you know.
Ball. Yeah.
yeah, and then you have like, you usually put probably some cheese in there. And some tomato sauce.
And some tomato sauce, of course. Why wouldn't you put
those were the
sauce?
Days. Yeah, so like you knew what you were going to have like before
yeah,
you
there
even
no,
got there.
There was
oh,
no
it's Thanksgiving.
The menu.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, it's Christmas. This is what you're having. So, and I kind of miss that because now, you know, we just have whatever we want all the time because,
yeah.
you know, we can order. Since I don't cook, we can order out every day.
And yet we still get for lunch,
yes,
the same
still,
two things.
Still, yeah,
from
yeah.
the same restaurant.
Yeah, from the same place.
Honestly, the main concern we have is, are they about to close?
Yeah.
Can we get our lunch order in time?
And
they don't close till 4 o'clock,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, we will say at 12. We better order before they close.
That's only because of the time vortex, though.
Yeah, there's a
time total vortex time here. Vortex. Mostly it's the whole, like, hanging out with your friends all day thing. But
yeah.
there's a time vortex.
Yeah, yeah. It does happen.
Sooner or later, it gets to a point where, like, now it's too late for lunch, too early for dinner.
Right. So what
I'm
do you
stuck.
Do? So then we go to the chocolate place up the street.
Go, even though we have a whole kitchen full of snacks.
No. Well, those are emergency snacks, like,
those
if we ever get trapped
snacks.
In here.
Trapped.
I don't know what's trapping us, but, you know.
Something's trapping us.
Yeah.
Okay, so Yule.
Yeah, so Yule. Is that what we're talking about? What?
That's what we're talking about. Here's one of my favorite things about Yule.
Okay.
The return of the sun
mm-hmm.
means that everyone will stop talking about how dark it is all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Not that we can't talk about it. But.
No, I actually love the winter solstice, but, you know, I also like... the summer solstice, like, I just love, like, it just feels like those 2 days are, like, such big days each
yeah.
year. So I love the winter solstice, and I love it when we could do our bonfire and there's snow on the ground, and, like, that's just dreamy and wonderful. You know, even, I mean, of course it's wonderful if there's no snow, but the snow
it's
just adds, like, a level
snow.
Of dreaminess. Because, you know, like,
quiet.
When you have, like, December snow and it's not really, it's, like, cold, but it's not windy and,
yeah.
like, you know, so I do love that. And I do love that whole process of that, like the being outside and the looking up at the stars and, you know, and knowing that the sun is going to be making more of an appearance every day is just lovely.
I agree. Because with all things, there are cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And as
yep.
much as I enjoy the dark and the cold, I also enjoy the sun coming back.
Yep.
I get excited when we're getting closer to
yep.
to that time.
Yep.
And I think that that's a very human, or actually all animal and plant thing, because we need the sun.
I think so too.
We all need it, and I think that it's very innate to feel that excitement of knowing, like, okay,
mm-hmm.
we're getting closer to the next growing season here.
I think so too. But I think, like, for like the earth itself, it's such a nice time of rest. Like,
yes.
we have our snowy blanket on us. It's resting the earth. I mean, I know the earth is always growing and always breathing and always, you know, moving and stuff. But, like, you know, we're not like, okay, we have to work the earth right now. We're like leaving it be, letting it have some time to itself and, you know, rejuvenate and replenish all of its I was going to say all of its herbs. I didn't mean herbs. I meant all of its nutrients. Nutrients for my herbs, I guess.
Yeah.
And I love the thought of that. I love just like being out there and like, you know, that silence, but like it feels like you could hear everything moving, but it is silence, you know.
Yeah. I always think of two things. Number one, that, and I always talk to people about this with creativity, that you can't be productive 100% of the time because your output is going to stink after a while. You have to be able to take breaks and play and rest and, you know, get away from the grind.
Absolutely.
The other thing that this time of year always makes me think of, I don't know if you remember this book, Owl Moon. It's a picture book. It's a book I used to make my parents read me all the time when I was little.
I don't remember it.
It is a lovely picture book. If you've got little ones in your family, Owl Moon, it's a classic. It's gorgeous. And it just embodies that whole, like, the quiet of the snow that dampens all the sound. And just, like, it's a beautiful family story without, like, beating you over the head with it.
Okay. I like that.
From what I remember, there's nothing problematic in it.
Okay. It's maybe I'll have to look this up.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just something about like looking up and seeing the stars, and you know, and that's one of the most wonderful things about like I also love Christmas Eve because of that whole, you know, it's the nighttime and it's the stars and it's a clear sky, and you know, we're like waiting for something, you know. Yeah. Of course my kids were always waiting for Santa, but you know, we're waiting for something, and I like that waiting the winter to see, like, you know, what's going to happen in the spring.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like this is like the only time of year we're like waiting for the earth to kind of catch up, and now we're going to do our planting and we're ready, you know, because I'm usually ready with like my herb garden in January. Yeah, I know what I'm going to plant. I'm looking through all my articles that I saved, all like my seed packets and stuff, because while the earth is resting, I'm resting too, and I'm spending a lot of time indoors because I do not like to be cold.
I understand.
You know,
most people don't.
Yeah, I do not like it. I don't like to be hot either, though. So, you know,
spring and fall.
It's interesting.
Likewise.
Yeah, it's interesting. But, I just love that whole nighttime quietness. You could like almost like hear the animals in the woods, you know, that are like the ones that are still. Are, you know, maybe they were a little late to the party, getting their, you know, their winter residences ready.
The only one I don't like to hear, and I don't wish it any ill, I just don't like hearing it, is the Fisher cat.
Oh, yeah. Well,
because it sounds like someone's being murdered
in
the woods nearby.
Yeah, they're not great. But, you know, I meant to tell you this, and I'll tell you now on the podcast. You know I've spoke about this before in the fall, all about the owls that come.
Yes.
And I've recorded them, and they were actually there, at our house or whatever, just about a week ago. And I think because it's been so warm, like they're still kind of around. I know that they stay around all season, but I feel like they're only vocal really in the fall. That's when I hear them. So I was really excited by that. It was during the night we were in bed, and I went over and opened up the window. My husband, I think, thought I was crazy because, you know, it is winter, but I was opening up the window so I could hear them.
There you go.
You know.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, and that was, like, glorious. I just love things like that, like those little moments
where
you feel so connected to the earth and everything around you.
Yeah, no, I really like that, too, and I love. So we live in kind of a little tiny valley. We live in a little bowl. I love when it snows because all you can see is snow and trees. If you look in some directions, you can see houses, but for the most part, all you see is snow and trees. And while I love the sunset, and I do, we can't see it where we are. There are too many trees in the way. And the rise of the road, you just can't see it, but you can see the sunrise. And seeing the sunrise in winter over the snow, when the deciduous leaves have fallen and it's just like there's just so much light, it's so beautiful, and it's so different from a summer sunrise, which I also enjoy. But frankly, that happens a little too early in the day for me. I'm not usually awake to catch a summer sunrise, but in the winter sometimes I'll see it, and it just sometimes the light is of such a gorgeous quality. Like, it's just that, like, purpley pink gold.
Lovely.
Yeah. And it's just, I love those moments. And then when you do go outside, you can just start to hear the animals of the day starting to stir. I love it so much. Probably from Yule to Imbolc, nature-wise, is my favorite time of year for just the world and the earth in general. Mm-hmm. My favorite weather is usually October, but, you know, just like for those reasons, it's just still and everything is resting. And it's just a nice reminder to be like, you don't always have to be at 100%.
Absolutely. Production. Oh, I love that. Absolutely. I love that.
To stop and enjoy the sunrise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As somebody who normally doesn't see a sunrise because I don't like to get up in the morning, I will set my alarm sometimes to see it. So, you know, the sunrise is absolutely beautiful, but I don't just see it sometimes. Like, I'm not just like, when my son played hockey, I used to see it all the time.
Yeah.
We'd be like in the car driving somewhere, but you know.
One of my favorite days to set an alarm and watch the sunrise is on the winter solstice.
Oh, lovely.
Because even though I'm not at a stone circle.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was one of the days that archaeologists and historians think people may have gathered there, mm-hmm. possibly to honor the dead,
mm-hmm.
Possibly to welcome the new, you know, the new cycle right. in the earth.
Welcome the sun.
Yeah. Possibly both. Who knows? Yeah. It was so long ago. We're never really going to find out. But I like being able to see it. Sometimes I'll just like stand in the loft in our house and just stare out at the east and watch it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I sort of like treat the trees and the windows like they're a stone circle.
Oh, and lovely.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
I love that visual.
Thank you. And now I have my little Stonehenge model. I can go and hold
it up. Oh, there you go. There you go. That's a good idea.
I think so. I think that's what I'm going to do on the 21st this year. So I'll take my little Stonehenge out at sunrise.
There you go. That's a great idea. I like it.
If I can, I'll take a little picture of it.
Okay. Great.
I think of it. I might not.
We'll great.
See. We'll see.
Beautiful.
Is there anything else you want to add about Yule?
That's it. I just hope that everybody has a really cool Yule and great holiday, no matter what they celebrate, Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or
anything, really.
Anything. Any happy holiday you should get. You should get all the happiness.
All the happiness. And how about, you know, you're a witch if? Anything come into mind for you?
You know, I want to say, like, you know, you're a witch if you're really excited for Yule, but, like, a lot of people are excited for this time of year, and, you know, but I think that you know you're a witch if you really enjoy being outside in the cold at night, you know, listening to the earth and, like, just feeling it and just being one with it. I don't feel like enough people do that in the world, so I feel like that's a very witchy thing to do, so I'm going to say you know you're a witch if you do that.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've just made for me my Christmas Eve plans.
Excellent. Excellent.
I'm going to go stand out in my driveway with warm clothes on.
With yes, definitely. Bring a blanket.
Sometimes I can see the Milky Way.
Oh,
from
yeah.
there too.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Okay.
I probably won't sit on the ground. It's gravel.
No.
Maybe
no.
a chair.
Bring a chair. Bring a chair.
I'll bring
but
a chair.
Definitely bring a blanket to wrap it around.
Yeah.
You, in case
yeah.
It's,
100%.
In case it's cold.
Although we do have a little standing stone at the end of our driveway. Sometimes I like to sit there and I'll just sit and listen to the woods.
Yep.
Occasionally, as long as someone's not doing their leaves or their lawn.
Yeah. Yeah. Know. Well, hopefully at night they won't be.
We used to have a neighbor who did that. That's when he was home from work. God bless him. He'd go out there in the dark and he'd mow his lawn.
Well,
that's dedication.
That's dedication.
Kind of always wondered why he didn't hire someone to do it in daylight.
Yeah,
but, you know,
that's real dedication.
Like, oh, can you see what he's cutting? That's up to him.
Okay.
He was a nice guy. Whatever.
Okay.
Wish him well. And we wish all of you well. And remember, we're going to take a week off to actually celebrate. So
yes,
we'll be back around the new year.
We will. We just hope that you all have the best holidays ever and stay magical. Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next episode.
If you loved this, please leave us a review. We can't wait to talk to you again next week.